You have your program, you go ahead and pull it out, and just a show of hands, is there anybody in the room tonight, this is going to be you if you think it's you, who's a little tired? I mean, you're just kind of worn out. You're in a season of life that you're maybe a little bit worn out, and I'm with you. I'm with you, because I think that for some of us, we get a little bit tired and we get a little bit worn out, and more of us feel like we're worn out. And tonight I want to ask this question of why. Why do we feel like we are worn out? Why in the world do you and I feel like we're tired and worn out? Why would this happen inside of us? And some of us can look back and say, man, Chris, it has been this incredibly busy season. Maybe for you and your family, I can look at it in the same way and see all the incredible things that have happened and life and how things have gone. Some things good, some things not so good. And you get a little bit tired and a little bit worn out. But here's the thing. If you're feeling tired, statistically, you find out that you're not in the minority. You're actually in the majority. That a lot of people are feeling this way, and that studies are proving why we, even as Americans, are feeling this way. In 2010, there was a LexisNexis survey of 1,700 white-collar workers in the United States, China, South Africa, the UK, and Australia, and they revealed that on average, employees spend more than half their work days receiving and managing information rather than using it to do their jobs. Half of the surveyed workers confessed that they were reaching a breaking point after which they would not be able to accommodate the deluge of data. Anybody here had so many emails and text messages you can't even keep up? Anybody? Okay, well, you're not alone. You're not alone. A survey done by the Harris Interactive Group found out that in the end of 2012, Americans had an average of 9 unused vacation days. And in several surveys, Americans have admitted that they obsessively check and respond to emails and text messages from their colleagues or feel obligated to get some work done while on vacation. How many of you, show of hands, still have vacation time left at your job, or if you have a job and while you're on vacation, you have made the mistake of responding to a phone call, a text message, or an email? Anybody here, show of hands, done that? Okay? Some of us have. Way to go, team. Way to go. I'm with you. I'm with you. Americans and their brains are preoccupied with work so much of the time throughout history, people have intuited that such puritanical devotion to perpetual busyness does not, in fact, translate to greater productivity and is not particularly healthy. And so I want to read for you a quote that was written by a fellow by the name of Tim. And in it, he writes these words from the New York Times. He says this. Go to the next slide, please. And he says, idleness is not just a vacation, an indulgence or a vice. It is an indispensable to the brain as vitamin D is to the body, and deprived of it, we suffer a mental affliction as disfiguring as rickets. The space and quiet that idleness provides is for a necessary condition for, and he concludes, standing back from life and seeing it whole, for making unexpected connections and waiting for the wild summer lightning strikes of inspiration. It is paradoxically necessary to getting any work done. And yet, you and I continue to be busier and busier and busier and busier. And we wear this idea of busyness like a badge of honor. And the reality for most of us, including myself, is that if somebody were to ask you, how are you doing? You might respond, I'm busy. And most of the rest of us in the room would take that response as if you were more important than you really are. Why are we so busy? Why is life so crazy and out of control for so many of us? I mean, we begin to think through our lives and our days. And for some of you, you get to the place where you hear things about the idea of the carnival that's going on next week. You think, man, I'd love to serve that carnival. But the thing is, my life's too busy for me to do that. There's so many things happening right now in my world. Or you find out that there's a great charity that you'd love to go help out. And the problem for you is life is too busy. There are too many things that are happening. And because of it, you find yourself yourself in this idea of a race and you constantly feel like you're getting one more step behind. And for so many of us, we are just flat out tired. And to be honest with you, tonight, if I were to say, hey, you know what? Here's what we're going to do for a sermon. I'm going to give everybody 15 minutes of quiet time. Some of you would be like, thank you, Jesus. You know why? Because we're tired. And we're looking for some rest. And the reality of this tiredness isn't just physically upon us, but the problem that's happening for so many of us is that we are weary and we need to find rest for a weary soul. So how do I do this? And tonight I want to talk about this, and I'll tell you why I want to talk about this, because you're not the only one who's dealing with this issue. I am. A few weeks ago, we were on our way to a Chicago Cubs game, my wife and I were, and we took our time and decided to wake up real early in the morning, and we go, and we take a train, and we're riding a train into downtown Chicago, and we just had this wonderful day. And about halfway through the day, as we were on the train getting ready to get to the game, my wife started to ask a series of questions that oftentimes your spouse will ask you. You know, the question of, how are you doing? And that usually is followed by response for me personally of, you know, I'm fine, you know, and it's like, oh, okay, well, I've noticed this, so how are you doing? And it's like, you know, it's good, this is what's happening. And then about the fourth or the fifth time that she asked me this question, because I'm not necessarily the fastest person on the planet, I think to myself, you know what, I got to be honest with you. I said, Annette, I am tired. Anybody here said that? And she said, why are you so tired? And I went through a whole list of stuff. I said, you know, we launched this campus, and while we thought that success would be this much, God's provided us this much success. And because of that, we're seeing more and more folks that are coming around. And like last week, I mean, 10 people who took their next step with Christ in baptism were like, man, this is great. We launched our largest groups campaign ever. We've moved in different ways. We launched an entire ministry with Celebrate Recovery. And every week, more and more people show up. And we were hoping for 50 or 60 people by the end of the year, and last week 110 people showed up to Celebrate Recovery. And so we're seeing more and more people. And then on top of that, these are individuals who have needs and ideas and hurts, and they need us to come and encourage them and help them. And as we're continuing through this, the leadership of this and the advancements of this and all of the things, and I realized that more and more, instead of having that quiet time or the little peace in my soul, I was spending more and more time answering text messages and emails and having meetings and moving from one thing to the next. And then you add to the fact all of the things at home and the kids going through swim practice and cheerleading and dance and this and that and all the stuff that seems to come into our life. And then you have to add into the fact that you got family obligations. Anybody here, show of hands, ever had a family obligation? Okay, three of you. Good, good. Well, I'm glad three of you still talk to your families. And then you got family obligations that work inside of that. And then you get the one person, the occasional person that says, you're just never around. We just need more of you. And then you feel like that you're running from place to place to place to place. And the busyness of constant running eventually leads you into a state of being tired. And some of you tonight know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you don't, I am so grateful that the holidays are coming for you. In Isaiah, the 57th chapter, we read this verse that I think is an incredible verse. And tonight, it's going to really launch us into this idea of how do you and I find rest for our weary souls. And I want to begin to walk you through a process that God is currently walking me through and trying to figure out in a world that's filled with busyness where I can't really just get off the train, but I have to figure out, okay, God, where are you in this and how do you connect with this? this, and how do we figure these things out? And Isaiah 57, listen to what it says. God says, the high and lofty one who lives in eternity, the Holy One says this. God is saying this. Listen to what God says. I live in the high and holy place with those whose spirits are contrite and humble. And then for any of you in the room tonight who feel like you're tired and worn out, then circle this verse in your notes, because listen to what he says. He says, I restore the crushed spirit of the humble, and I revive the courage of those with repentant hearts. Listen to this. Notice what he says here. He's making a statement in this moment. And in this moment, the statement that he's making is he's saying, I revive the courage of those with repentant hearts. If you're wanting to put an equation together, the two words that he uses in this idea that I think are great words for you and I is the word humility right here and this idea of restoration. Humility and restoration are two very key words. And if you were to take humility and you were to take this idea, of repentance, and you take humility and repentance and you put those together, then what happens if you have humility and repentance? Here's what it says to us. It says then to us, we find this idea of revival. And then in the course of revival, we see this idea of our spirits being restored. Understand these two things. Because tonight, if you're tired, as I am, then perhaps for you, the best thing that you can do is to stop telling everybody in the world that you're fine. To stop letting everybody else know, hey, I'm good. It'll slow down. Someday it'll happen. I know that in 3 weeks from now, it'll all go away. After this event goes on, after that conference happens at work, after so-and-so graduates, after they finish up with the ball, after everything goes on, then everything will be fine. And for us, this pride inside of us that stays, that says, I can outlast you, becomes a difficult journey for us. And God says, here's the deal. When people are humble and they're repentant, then there's something incredible that happens, restoration and revival. Humility and repentance equals restoration and revival. Now here, let me just pause for a moment because this is pretty serious stuff. As a matter of fact, anything that keeps us from God is sin. I just want you to hear that tonight. Anything that keeps us from God is sin. And right now, if you find yourself too busy for God, then it is sin. And maybe this equation of humility, of saying, you know, God, I'm just not okay right now. This understanding of repentance. And repentance is saying, you know what? I've been doing this far too long and now I have to do this. And maybe for you, the desire of your heart that you want is a desire for revival and a desire for you in your heart of restoration. And that's why the first thing for you in reading this verse is this. Write this down, fill in the notes. Admit your current state to God. This isn't a conversation that you need to have necessarily with your spouse. Well, that's a good thing. This is a conversation that you and God need to sit down and you and God need to begin to say, hey, God, this is what's going on. Right now, life is spinning too much. Right now, the plates are so many. Right now, I thought I could spin this many plates, but now there's more and more plates that are there. And the tendency for you and I is to say, you know what? I got to spin less plates. And so you drop three or four and then you step out of them. And sometimes the very things that you step out of were the very life-giving things that God wanted to give to you. And the problem is you've never paused long enough to say, God, where are you in this? I'm sorry, God, but I've been too busy for you. And so be honest with him in this. Admit your current state to God. The second component in this is that once you come to this place, and over the last few weeks, I've had this conversation with a number of very close friends. I've said, you know what, I honestly, I'm tired right now. I'm worn out. I'm just kind of tired. And then I realized, okay, Chris, it's not just enough to be tired, but you got to do something in this. And so here's what I'm doing these days. The first thing is this. Check your gauges. Check your gauges. You need to take an honest look after you've said, God, here's the deal right now. I'm so busy. Life is so crazy for me that I couldn't find the Holy Spirit in front of me if he just happened to show up. Because some of us are there. Some of us get to this thing where we're just like, man, that's cool. You saw the 35 baptisms. And you're like, man, that's kind of cool, but I'm not really as excited as I need to be about that. And the point is that you're thinking something is missing in me. And maybe for you, it's time for you to check your gauges. The first gauge that you can begin, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 tells us this. Paul makes this statement. He says, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you, was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. God bought you with a high price. Honor God with your body. The first gauge that you need to ask, the first gauge that you need to check is your personal, your physical gauge. You need to be looking at your life and saying, God, is this doing okay? Maybe for some of you, you know that you're not as healthy as you once were. You're not recovering from a cold or a flu that you had a few weeks ago, or you're that creek that's been going on is now turning into a constant creek. You wake up in the morning in pain, you go to bed in pain. There's a deep pain that's inside of you, and you're like me. You tell the people who are closest to you, like I said to my wife, hon, I'll be fine in a few days. I'll be good in a few days. Everything will all level out whenever something big happens. And my wife, in the course of this conversation, said, what is going to happen for this to change? And for you, you know that physically maybe you're just not feeling as well as you once were. But that's the first gauge for you to check. The second gauge that falls into line of this is to look at your emotional and spiritual gauges. Look at your emotional and spiritual gauges. We find that what Paul says in Galatians chapter 6 or chapter 5 is an incredible passage. And here's what we're going to do, because in your program, you're going to see some diagrams. I even drew the pictures for you today because I want you to literally take a look at this and think through this tonight, because I am concerned for you in the same way that I know you are concerned for me. And Paul says in Galatians chapter 5 these words, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. And let me ask you, how prevalent are these things right now in your life? Man, are you a loving person? Are you the happiest you've ever been, filled with joy? When people call you on the phone, they're like, whoa, dial down the joy. Are you one of those people that has so much peace right now that, I mean, you are chilling like a felon? You're so peaceful. Are you one of those people that for you, patience is your thing? I mean, you get stuck in traffic and you think to yourself, God, you gave me these 7 minutes of nothingness. Thank you. Or you go into the checkout counter and it's packed full of people and you know there's like six other people that could be working the checkout counter, but they're not. And you pause just long enough to say to yourself, God, thank you. Thank you that those five people are going to have a candy bar in 5 minutes while I'm standing here waiting for nothing to happen. How's your patience level? Or maybe your kindness. The other day, I found myself yelling at somebody for no reason whatsoever. Or your goodness. Your faithfulness. Or your gentleness. Your self-control. You know, here's the thing. Of these nine things that are listed here, I would venture to say that if you look at your page there, that there are four gauges that you could find the four least of these things in the gauge. That you could look at and say, what are my hardest ones for me to deal with? And this past week, I began to take a look at this. And the ones that I began, just to give you a couple of real quick ones, one was gentleness. And so you write in here, if that's you, right on that line, gentleness. Recently, one of our staff members, I had a response to them and didn't know that I'd even done this, but I had said something to them in light of this conversation where we were talking, and I didn't realize that my gauges were as low as they were, and I made this statement, and the staff member thought, man, Chris, I can't believe you'd say this to me, and I didn't even think about it. And this past week, they pulled me aside, and one of the things I love about this person is that they exude gentleness, and they sat down in front of me. They said, Chris, I love you, but here's the thing. I just cannot believe you said this the other day. And I thought, that was pretty cutting, wasn't it? Yeah, it was. And I had to begin to look and realize that my gauge, if I were to color it in on gentleness, is a little bit low. But you want to know what my lowest gauge is on this list? Confession time. Self-control. Man, this one, when I'm tired, it is so easy for me to fly off a handle. When I'm tired, I have a tendency to pick the 4 Big Mac meal over the chef salad. When I'm tired, I let my mind wander in ways that it shouldn't. When I'm tired, I notice that whenever I go to the gym, I'm spending all of my time sitting in the sauna and calling it a workout. And maybe you do the same. Are you tired? Because you see, this is a package deal here. You see, some of us look at these 9 things and say, okay, well, here's the deal. I'm going to start with love right here. And if I get love right, then boom, I'll move to joy. Because man, I know I need joy because my kids keep telling me, Dad, you're the most sour person we know. You need that. Well, let me get love down, then we'll get to joy, right? The problem is this. What Paul is saying to us in this moment, what Paul is saying in Galatians 5 to all of us, including myself, is Paul's saying, Chris, here's the thing. This is a package deal. And whenever you're missing one or two of these, you're missing a lot of them. And for you, if you were to take a look at your gauges and you were to find what are your 4 most difficult ones, look at them in your notes. This is a time for you to be honest. I mean, that's what I said. That's how we started this thing. You and God get honest with yourself. And God and I had to get honest. And I had to say, God, here's the deal. My self-control is down here. And as a person who suffered from an addiction in my past, I know this, that as long as my self-control gauge is near E, when it gets to E, then I make choices and decisions that move me off of a mountain. And we all do. And so the question for us is this: what do we do with all of this stuff? How do we go through this? And the first step for us that we have to begin to start in this process is for you to be honest with God. Humility and repentance equals revival and restoration. And so tonight, here's where we're going to end this thing. Because the psalmist would say this in Psalm 46, verse 10. And I think that some of us in the room tonight probably need to hear this tonight. And if you don't, I know God's saying, Chris, you do. And that is simply this: be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is God. The third thing, if you're filling in the blank, the last blank to fill in right there is simply this. God says this: be still and let God speak. Maybe for you, you're so busy right now. Work is out of control. You're saying yes to all the overtime you can. You're saying that it's to build a nest egg. It's to make sure. I don't know if there will be a job coming up in 6 months because there's a downturn in the economy right now. Maybe for you, you're saying, you know what? This is the season that we have to pour into kid so-and-so. And you pick the kid and say, we're going to travel with this kid. We're going to do whatever we can to make sure that this kid excels and accelerates in everything. And because of it, you're causing yourself to work lots of extra jobs to afford to make these things happen. And you're thinking, I can do this. Maybe until the season's over, when this season ends or this season ends. And the problem is the next season has already begun. And you're finding yourself in a cycle over and over again. And you wake up every morning and you're more tired than you were the morning before, and you keep thinking just one good night's sleep will make this thing happen, and it doesn't tend to come your way, and you wonder what it is, and all of your gauges are screaming that you're tired and you're worn out and you're stressed. Maybe you need to be quiet long enough to let God speak. One of the things I love about serving Jesus Christ is that Jesus understood this important mission. From this stage, you've heard us tell story after story of Jesus doing these incredible miracles. Feeding the 5,000, raising people from the dead, healing sicknesses that nobody else did. You hear us tell story after story, and this incredible busy guy, and he did all of these things in 3.5 years. And some of us have interpreted that idea that I need to fill my schedule every single moment of every single day. And yet in Luke chapter 5, verse 16, we find these verses. And in Luke 5, 16, it says this, because even Jesus understood this idea of what does it look like for God to be in charge and for God to be in charge of our lives. It says this in Luke 5:16. It said, even Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. Do you catch this? That the very one who was with God in the beginning, the very creator of your soul and my soul, our Lord and Savior, while he was on this earth, knew he had limited amounts of time, knew that he had a mission that needed to be accomplished, knew he had 1,000 things that needed to get done, and he had people who needed to be healed, people who needed to be raised from the dead, feeding of thousands of people. He had a message that needed to be cleared out. He had trainings that needed to happen. But yet in the middle of all of that, it says this, Jesus would oftentimes withdrew to the wilderness so that he could speak to God. Man, if he had to do this, this is what God said to me. And Chris, why don't you have to do this? And for most of us, it's a tough, tough thing. We find in the Psalms, this verse in Psalm 16:11, as we close out tonight, these words, you will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. For some of us in the room, this verse is a foreign concept. And part of the reason that it's a foreign concept for us is because we cannot be still long enough to let God speak to us. And so here's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to close out this service in one of the weirdest ways we've ever closed out a service. So turn to your neighbor and say, it's about to get weird in here. Okay? See, we've had this E to full gauge here going on right here. What we're going to do now is we're going to take the weird meter and go way over here. Okay, so that's where we're going to be. So walk with me in this journey, because here's what I want you to do. You just took some notes, and in those notes, or you've at least listened long enough to hear a couple of ideas. And the first thought that I hope that you get from this message is to get real with God. And so what we're going to do is we're going to clear out some time. CJ is going to come out and he's going to just play some music over us. And the idea behind this really is for you to allow this opportunity, to allow these moments to let God speak to you. And for you to just say this, God, I'm listening. I'm listening. And then maybe grab the pencil from the seat back in front of you. Grab a pen that's in the seat back or out of your purse or your pocket, and maybe just write down, what is God saying to you in this moment? Because for some of us, we're tired and we don't know why. We're a little bit worn out. And your meters are running closer to empty than you want them to run. And you need to know, Christ died for you, and he's got this. And if you're saying, I got to keep working because I've got bills to pay and I got this huge stack of bills, then God's saying to you, I got this. I am the creator of the universe and I got this. Maybe for you, it's because you're so worried about your kids or your grandkids. Are they going to turn out the way that you want them to turn out? Maybe it's time for you to just say, God, they're in your hands now. You take them. Maybe for you, it's your relationship with your spouse. And it's just causing you so much pain and consternation, and you're constantly thinking, man, I don't know. I'm walking on eggshells. I come home. I don't know if we're going to be in a good mood or a bad mood. I don't know. And the problem is this. You have no rest for your soul. And so you dodge a bullet night after night. And then after you dodge a bullet three or four nights in a row, you make a mistake. And you engage in an argument, and then it escalates into this massive argument. You know how this is working in your marriage. And the problem isn't necessarily the things that are going on with your spouse. The problem is there's no margin in your world because you're tired. You're worn out. And I know that some of you want me to stand here and tell you, quit everything in life, but I'm not going to tell you that, and I'll tell you why. Because maybe you need to find a few moments of you and God this week. Maybe you need to take an hour before you go to bed sometime this week and just you and God sit down and say, where are we right now? You got a piece of paper there. Put the gauges. Be honest with yourself. And just you and God talk about it. And so what we're going to do is I'm just going to give you a couple of moments for you and God. The good news is you don't have to worry about who's sitting beside you because it's not between you and them tonight. It's you and God. And so walk through that and ask yourself the question, where am I? And remember, that whole idea of humility, repentance, is the beginning of revival and restoration. And then be honest about your gauges. Your health failing a little bit, and you're just kind of, I'll get to the doctor one day. You know what? I know I've been a little short with my family, but that's just, it's a season of life. There's bigger things happening. Be still and know that he is God. So just go ahead, you and God, spend a few moments. If you don't know what to do here, then look at the program in front of you and say, God, show me something here. But just right now, we're going to bring the lights down, and I just want you to be focused for the next couple of minutes here.